Amen. Appreciate that. Appreciate that presentation from Chile. Each year, what we try to do is the Sunday school offering is set aside each week to send a family on a missions trip. And so I wish we could send a family to every mission field, every missionary, every year. That would be such a blessing to them. And so continue to remember them in prayer. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm not going to hold you long tonight, but we've been doing a study here on the New King James Bible, and this is the third part in that series. And so I'm just going to give you maybe a couple passages here to think about tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word, and Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for how our hearts have been stirred already for our missionaries. I pray that you would bless them and help them, Lord, in the many times the lonely hours that they have, and I just pray that you would be very near and dear to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. What's the first word? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're looking at the eighth scripture that we've been comparing here, and this one, 2 Timothy 2:15. So the King James Bible says study. The New King James says this: be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I want to remind you of the purpose of the translators of the New King James Bible, what they said, and it's this, I quote, "Their purpose was to update archaic verbs and pronouns and up-to-date accuracy with regard to words whose English meaning has changed." Now, my question to you is, has the word study become outdated? No. The problem is that word just isn't liked. You know, when you were in school, did you like that word, study? Probably not. And people still don't like it today, so that's a good word to change, I guess. Huh? Let's look at Ecclesiastes 12:12. Ecclesiastes 12:12. No, that's not an update of Old English. That's changing the word. And my point over and over to you has been that the translators of the New King James were not honest. They did more than just update words. They totally changed words. And changing study to diligent is not changing an Old English word to New English. You're just totally changing the word. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. "And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much," what? "Study is a," what? "Weariness of the flesh." So, the word study in Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary means application of the mental faculties to the acquisition of knowledge. The application of the mental faculties to the acquisition of knowledge. So in other words, it's applying your brain to learn something in regular words that we speak. According to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, study means a setting of the mind or thoughts upon a subject, to fix the mind closely upon a subject, to muse, to dwell upon in thought. Now, what would happen if you told your son, "I've got to run to the store for a couple hours," and say your son has some homework to do, and you say, "Son, while I'm going to the store, be diligent." Okay, what might your son do? He might be diligent getting in the refrigerator while you're gone. He might be diligent talking on the telephone to someone. He might be diligent playing video games or something. There's a lot of things in which he can be diligent other than study. But if you tell your son, well, I'm gone, I want you to study. Well, there's no mistaking about that. Studying is not studying the contents of the refrigerator, right? That's understood. So study has a distinct meaning. So when they changed the word study to be diligent, that didn't help, okay? Here's another one, Proverbs 25. This one we saw just this past week. Proverbs 25. I was amazed at the way they translated this. Proverbs 25, verse 23. Proverbs 25, 23. The Bible reads, the north wind does what? Driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Okay, you got that down in your mind? The north wind driveth away rain. The New King James says this, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. The Bible says here, the north wind driveth away rain. The New King James Bible says the north wind brings forth rain. Now, I don't think that has anything to do with Old English. They have changed the verse to mean exactly the opposite of what it says. What I also find interesting, we've been comparing the New King James with the Jehovah's Witnesses translation, the New World translation. Let me read for you the New World translation, the Jehovah's Witnesses translation. It says, the wind from the north brings forth, as with labor pains, a downpour, and a tongue giving away a secret, a denounced faith. Once again, the Jehovah's Witnesses translation agrees with, or what I should say is the New King James agrees with the Jehovah's Witness translation. The Jehovah's Witness translation was made in 1960-61. The New King James was finished, the entire Bible, in 1982. So as we've been citing point after point, like I said, at the end of this, I'll have on paper so you can have this whole list, but time after time, the New King James is following the exact word or thought of the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witnesses translation. So what are you going to do with this one? The Bible says the north wind driveth away rain. The New King James and the Jehovah's Witnesses translations all say the north wind brings forth rain. Now remember what they stated their purpose was? To update archaic verbs and pronouns. This has nothing to do with updating Old English. They have totally changed the meaning. They've reversed the meaning of the verse. Now, the translation doesn't even fit the context here. Look at the verse here. In my place here again. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Now, the way they have changed this here, just look at the context. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Okay, the north wind's going to drive away rain. An angry countenance is going to drive away a backbiting tongue. In other words, if somebody comes up to you and starts backbiting someone, and you show then an angry countenance when you hear what they are saying about someone. And Brother Steve talked about facial expressions. That's a world. You don't have to speak the same language to understand someone's facial expressions. If they're mad, you can be mad in Spanish, mad in Portuguese, mad in Russian. The face shows. You don't have to speak all those languages. You know. And so just the context is telling you the north wind is going to drive away something, just like an angry countenance is going to drive away a backbiting tongue. If somebody comes up to you and starts backbiting someone else and your face gets angry, you know what they're going to do? They're going to stop. They're going to quit talking about that person because they know it's making you angry. So their translation doesn't even fit the context. And if they were going to say that verse 23, that an angry countenance produces a backbiting tongue, or let me go back to their translation here. The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Okay, just suppose for a moment that what they are saying is that a backbiting tongue produces an angry countenance. Now, I'm hoping I'm not confusing you too much, but look in your Bible there once again. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Well, if you're going to reverse the first part of the verse, you've got to reverse the second part. So if you're going to say, New King James, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and an angry countenance, then what you're going to have to say is, the Bible is teaching that if you backbite someone, if you go up to someone and start talking bad about them, then the Bible is guaranteeing that you're going to get an angry countenance from someone. Well, that's not always the case. You know what? There are a lot of people who just love to hear juicy gossip. They love to hear it. There was a speaker that wanted to come here, we knew we'd had some people speak here before that knew this speaker, and so I just called him up and said, you know, hey, do you recommend or not recommend this speaker? And the person I was talking to says, well, you know, it's like this. Each time, you know, this person comes into town, it's like, you know, talk about someone, looking for some juicy gossip to talk about someone. And I said, okay, we don't need that here. The fact of the matter is, notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. No, if you have a backbiting tongue, that is not going to guarantee that someone shows you an angry countenance. There's all kinds of people out there that just love to hear nasty things about people. They just lap it up like candy. 1 Timothy 5:13. 1 Timothy 5:13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but what? Tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So this becomes a way of life for people. And if it automatically, if every time you started talking bad about someone, it produced an angry countenance in someone, pretty soon you would quit doing that. It would silence all gossipers and silence all tattlers and it would silence all backbiting tongues. If it was a guaranteed fact that every time you start talking bad about someone, people would get angry in their faces at you, the world would be free of backbiters. The world would be free of tattlers. So notice with me once again here in Proverbs 25, 23. They have totally reversed the meaning of this verse. And they've actually, if the north wind brings forth rain, and if a backbiting tongue brings forth, it's a guarantee that it's going to bring forth an angry countenance. There's a clear contradiction here, because that is not what happens. There's no guarantee about that at all. And then we get to the actual fact of the verse. The north wind driveth away rain. I think a week ago Saturday, we left to go out witnessing. And I stopped at the road and I said to the guys, I says, look at that flag. Our flag out front was blowing straight north. The wind was coming right out of the south. And guess what the weathermen had said? Rain was coming. No, it wasn't a north wind bringing forth rain. It was the south wind, and we did get rain. And then at the house, we noticed we'd had our time of rain, and then we have a little flag-type banner out in front of the house, and It was starting to blow south. And you know what? The rain clouds went away. The sky cleared up. The north wind drove away the rain. Just like the Bible says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've realized this is a proof of the inspiration of God's word, that countless times when I have felt that north wind begin to blow, I know for a fact, based upon the word of God, that the rain is going to be driven away, and it happens. The north wind doesn't bring forth rain. The south wind brings the rain. The north wind drives it away, just like the scripture says. If this was the only verse right here, if Proverbs 25:23 was the only verse in the Bible that the New King James translators had changed, I would reject it upon this right here, because they have given forth an unscientific statement. The north wind does not bring forth rain. The north wind drives it away. That is a fact. Now, as I mentioned, one of the professors down at Tennessee Temple in the seminary, James Price, was on this. In fact, I think he ended up at the end of it being a chairman of one part of this translation. And why, how that ever got put in there, I will never know, unless all those guys were so busy in their seminary rooms that they never got outside, or they never have observed a flag or anything blowing in the wind, or know nothing about weather. But this is one verse right here, and it's not the only one we've seen. They have totally reversed the meaning. It has nothing. What they have done has nothing to do with updating language. Let me read you their translation again. You look in your Bible there, if you still have it open to that. They said the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Neither of those is true. Both statements are false. So, once again, we just need to stand upon the Word of God. The New King James translators, just like all of these modern translations, the fact is they've lied in when they state their reason for doing the translation. To update archaic words, to update Old English words, that is not what they did at all with that verse. They totally reversed the meaning. They have made a false statement in regard to science. They've made a false statement in regard to just dealing with people. If you start talking bad about people, not everyone is going to give you a nasty look. Some people are going to say, oh yeah? Tell me more. What else do you know about this person? That's what a lot of people are going to do. They're not. In fact, the very rare thing that will ever happen to you if you start talking bad about someone is that someone will give you an angry look. How many times has it happened to you? Can you name a time? You may say, well, preacher, what do you think? I go around talking bad about people? Well, sometime in your life, I'm sure you've said something that wasn't totally positive about someone. When's the last time you got an angry look? So they're wrong. They're wrong on both parts. So as I said, as we are doing this, we're compiling all this information, and we will get you the list at the end of it. So shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these few moments we could have tonight to look into your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you, Lord, we can have confidence in it. And Lord, once again, as we find in this new translation, we find, Lord, that it is lacking, that it is unscientific, that the translators have not been honest. Their goal, their purpose was not just to update old English words. And Lord, you know, we haven't seen one example of that yet, not one. But we've seen dishonesty. We've seen reversing the total meaning of the verse. And Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be studying the Word. Lord, we realize that is not a problem of us understanding that word study, but It's just a problem with us because of laziness. Study is hard work. Much study is a weariness of the flesh. And Lord, help us to be faithful to obey your word and to study it. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son to this sin-cursed earth, born of a perfect, miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, died on that cross, and gave his precious sinless blood for our sins, and rose again victorious from the grave. Father, I pray if there is any here tonight who are not saved, that tonight they will come and be saved. Lord, I pray you'd help us as Christians to be in the Word, to be studying. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please, and turn to 178. The Bible stands. Oh, let's pray for Brother Lawson. I know.